A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son said in reply, 'I will not,' but afterward changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave him the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you by way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your mind and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today at this full family mass, in which we as the parish family together come together at one time in order to grow in love of God and of each other, and to focus on our renewal as a parish, preparing to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the dedication of this most beautiful home in which we worship the Lord God. Jesus gives us the gospel of the parable of two sons. Here at this full family mass, it could likewise be called the parable of two parishioners, of two sons or daughters of this family of faith. The same lessons Jesus, out of love, was trying to communicate in the temple of Jerusalem to the chief priests and elders of the people who had assembled to question him, is here in this resplendent temple trying to communicate the same crucial truth to us. In the parable, Jesus employs the image of working in his father's vineyard to encapsulate the entirety of human life. There are, as I've stressed before, two essential aspects to our life as Christians. The first is to be attached to Jesus Christ the vine, and through him to his Father the vine grower. The second is to be a worker in his vineyard, to bear fruit, holiness and apostolate, to be a fervent disciple and an ardent missionary. That's what our life is meant to be. Jesus tells us during the Last Supper that if we remain in him and he in us like branches on the vine, then we will bear fruit and our fruit will last. He also tells us that he never ceases to call us to this relationship with him and to this work with him in the Father's vineyard. Last Sunday, he gave us the beautiful image of his going out to hire laborers for the Father's vineyard. He went out at 5 in the morning, at 9, at noon, at 3, and at 5 in the afternoon, saying that if we responded to his invitation, if we went into his vineyard and worked hard, he would give us all the same lifetime wage. Last week, those who went out to work early in the morning complained, just like the people at Ezekiel's time complained in today's first reading. The Lord's way is not fair. But God tells us that he seeks to relate to us not merely with justice, but with mercy and generosity. As he tells us through Ezekiel today, when the wicked man turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he shall save his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins he's committed, he shall surely live. We see this mercy in the first of the two sons in today's gospel. who reminds us in a way of the first of two sons in the parable of the prodigal son, the one who initially treats his father as dead and refuses to live in his house, but who eventually comes back and receives the father's love. Today, Jesus describes that first son initially who refused when his father said, "Son, go out and work in my vineyard today." But afterward, he changed his mind and went to work. After the parable, Jesus implied that this is the proper way to understand those prostitutes and tax collectors and other types of sinners who, even though through lengthy periods of time they said no to God with regard to the sixth commandment or the seventh commandment or to the other commandments, they eventually converted and were now working in the Lord's vineyard, building up and entering into his kingdom. The second son responds to his father's command, saying respectfully, "I will go, sir." But he never acts on that promise. Jesus says that this applies to precisely those whom he was addressing, the chief priests and the elders of the people, who so many times each day very publicly prayed, chanting aloud their amens to God, but who were not following through on their covenantal commitments. With their lips, they were saying yes to the Father's will, but with their actions, they weren't. And we ended up seeing where their hypocrisy would lead to. They ended up framing Jesus and having him tortured, crucified, and killed. Their yeses were not corresponding to their lives. It's obvious that the Lord wants all of us today to reflect not only on what we say to God, but on how we follow through on our commitments to him. We're here this morning because we are people who have said yes to God so many times over the course of our lives, however long we've been here, even the kids in CCD. On the day of our baptism, we, or for us, our parents and godparents, spoke up and made our baptismal promises, committing ourselves to burn and walk in Christ's light, to keep our baptismal garments clean, to live up to our dignity as his beloved adopted children. At our confirmation, we stood up and renewed those baptismal promises to reject Satan, his evil works and empty promises, and to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. At our confirmation, we also committed ourselves to go and work in the Lord's vineyard with tongues of fire, using our tongues to proclaim the Lord's gospel with ardent passion. Jesus wants us to ask ourselves today whether we've been following through on those commitments, whether we've been getting down to work in his vineyard. If we've not been following through, if we've been saying no to the Lord with our bodies despite the yeses of our lips, Jesus wants us to learn from the example of the first son, to have confidence, and to head out to do the Father's will beginning today. Jesus is clear with us about his preference for deeds over words in the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will inherit the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. This morning in Germany, Pope Benedict said that Jesus' words in the gospel point to one of the fundamental themes of his entire preaching. Listen to what the Holy Father said, not to just German Catholics today, but Roman Catholics spread throughout the world. When asked by Jesus, which of the two sons did the Father's will? Those listening respond readily, "The first." The message of the parable is clear. It's not words that matter, but deeds. Deeds of conversion and faith. Jesus directs the message to the chief priests and elders of the people, that is, to the experts of religion for the people of Israel. At first, they say yes to God's will, but their piety becomes routine, and God no longer matters to them. For this reason, they find the message of John the Baptist and the message of Jesus disturbing. The Lord concludes his parable with these harsh words. "Truly, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent. and believe him. Pope Benedict then went on to update this image of Jesus into the language of our time, something that applies to Catholics throughout the world. He said, translated into our own language, Jesus' statement might sound something like this. The agnostics, those who don't know if God exists, but who are constantly exercised by the question of God, those who long for a pure heart but suffer on account of sin, are closer to the kingdom of God than those believers whose faith has become routine and who regard the church only as an institution without letting their hearts be touched by faith. The words of Jesus today should make us all pause. In fact, Jesus' words today should disturb each of us. The Holy Father is saying that for many sons and daughters of God, our yes in faith has become routine. It's become stale. It's no longer life-giving. We say amen. We say yes. We say I believe so readily and naturally that we've ceased to understand the meaning of what we're saying and act on our commitments. Every week we say amen when the priest or extraordinary minister of the Eucharist says the body of Christ. But do we really structure our lives in a way consistent with this affirmation? If God's really here, what role does this play in our daily life, not just week? We say thanks be to God when the word of God is proclaimed at Mass. But do we show that gratitude for this incredible gift by making time each day to meditate on what God's saying to us and applying it to our lives? We affirm, I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But do we still believe when he asks us to do something challenging, like hard work in his vineyard? Or does our faith weaken when God asks us to do something we don't feel like doing? We confess our faith in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. But do we look at the Church as just one more organization to which we belong? Or do we regard the Church as holy, as the bride and the body of Jesus Christ himself, that he set up for our salvation and the salvation of our family members, friends, enemies, and the whole world? Pope Benedict said that in the spirit of Jesus' teaching, something more is needed than simply words or a routine life that has lost its life-giving sap. We need, he says, an open heart that allows itself to be touched by the love of Christ and thus gives to our neighbor who needs us this love in return, in which the other person is able to see not just us, but Christ, the loving God, loving them through us. Our yes to God begins with fully allowing God and his love into our lives in such a way that we will be transformed by that love into agents of that love toward others. It's a yes to fully living in Christ the vine so that attached to him, we may bear great fruit in his Father's vineyard. That's the reason why Pope Benedict asked the Catholics throughout the world to ponder the following question based on today's gospel. How is my personal relationship with God, the vine on which everything else depends, how is my personal relationship with God in prayer, in the participation at Mass, in exploring my faith through meditation on sacred scripture and the studying of the Catechism of the Catholic Church? This is where it all starts. Our yes to God takes on flesh in all of these ways in which God is able to transform us and through us transform the world. In the last analysis, dear friends, the Holy Father said, the renewal of the church, which is what the gospel is all about today, will come about only through openness to conversion and through renewed faith. Through saying, Father, I'm sorry for having said no to you, but now with faith, I'm saying yes, and I mean it. Not just with my lips, but with 100% of my mind, heart, soul, and strength. The renewal of the church will come about only through openness to conversion and through renewed faith. Each of these full family masses that we've been celebrating over the course of the last 2 years has had a theme, something major that members of the parish pastoral council and I have identified that we need to focus on together as a family. The theme for today is to announce the general outlines of how we intend to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the dedication of this beautiful house of God. We're going to have a year-long celebration, which will begin on the first Sunday of Advent this year, November 27th, and extend through the precise 100th anniversary of its dedication, which will take place November 28th, 2012. The point of this year-long celebration is not principally to look backward to the past and to retrace these last 100 years. It's to look to God, to thank Him for all the blessings He showered down from heaven on this holy spot and all those who have worshipped Him here, and to ask Him to open up the heavens again and rain down His help so that we may experience a totally powerful renewal in faith. It's really a great blessing from God that as we begin this year of thanksgiving, the church has asked us to begin to use a new and much better translation of the Mass in English, which will assist us a great deal in this renewal. But renewal, as Pope Benedict said this morning, happens only through conversion and faith. It begins by recognizing the times that we've said no to God, or even said yes but not followed through, to ask for His mercy for those times and to beg for the grace so that we may act on our commitments as branches of Christ the vine and as workers in the Father's vineyard called to bear fruit that will last. I've written in the bulletin 4 general ways that members of the parish pastoral council and I have identified that God is asking us for renewal. We'll have a chance to focus on them more as we move ahead. But what I'd like to ask all of us to do today, as a parish family, individually and together, is to commit ourselves to that renewal. To say, yes, Jesus, I'm in. Yes, Jesus, I want to be renewed in faith. Yes, Jesus, I want to grow in faith. Not simply as self-fulfillment, but because I know You want me to grow in faith. I know that that's Your will, that's Your work for me. And I want to say yes, not just with my lips, but I want to say it wholeheartedly. The Lord's calling us to say yes as beloved sons and daughters of the Father, as brothers and sisters of each other, and then help each other to follow through on this commitment, so that each of us may be renewed and our whole parish rejuvenated and strengthened by God. The first area of personal and parochial renewal that parish lay leaders and I have identified is the most important of all. It's a spiritual renewal. We're proposing 3 ways for us to be renewed spiritually, all based on the theme of 100 years. The first is 100 days of prayer, which will start November 28th this year and last through March 6th. We're going to ask everyone in the parish during that time to make a special commitment to pray for the parish and for all parishioners living and dead. There'll be a special prayer card written for the centennial that will ask you to pray each day. Hopefully, if you can, within the context of daily Mass or daily adoration, or in the context of the recitation of your own rosary at home, however you can do it, to make that commitment to pray each day, not just for yourself and your own needs, but for our whole parish. The second aspect of the spiritual commitment will be 100 consecutive hours of Eucharistic adoration, which will be held during Lent, the week of March 11th. For 4 consecutive days, we'll have around-the-clock adoration in the church, like we're going to be doing this Friday night into Saturday with the Knights of Columbus. We're going to ask every parishioner to make the commitment of being in church for 100 hours straight. No, we're not. Sometimes you might think that that's the commitment I'm asking you. If I were asking you to make a commitment for 100 hours straight, You could say no because I know you've got school and work to do. Here's what we're going to ask you to do. For those 4 consecutive days, we're going to ask you to make the commitment to come and pray 1 hour over that course of the 24. At whatever time you can. If you work third shift, the church will be here for you. If you work regular hours, you can come here with your family. It doesn't matter. But to come here for 4 consecutive days and give yourself to the Lord who gives himself to you. It's coming in March. Plenty of time to get ready and make plans. But please make that commitment. The third spiritual activity will be 100 Heroes of the Faith series, in which for 100 consecutive days, beginning the day after Easter, we'll have a reflection written by a parishioner and distributed to all the rest of parishioners on one of these great heroes. We're going to start with all the heroes who are depicted in our church, and then we're going to go on to some of the big ones. We'll focus on the Old Testament figures described up on top or over here in the sanctuary. We'll begin to focus on some of the saints who are here and in our stained glass windows. What we're asking for is for 100 parishioners, including some of our youngsters in our CCD program, to volunteer to write 100 essays. No, that's not what we're going to ask. To write one essay of about 5 minutes worth of reading that can be given in, cleaned up if need be, maybe put a photograph in along with it so that it can be distributed each of those 100 days to all parishioners, to put it on our website so that anybody can look it up, to send it out via email and Facebook and Twitter. And if there's someone who's a senior who has no computer access, we're going to be asking for those who happen to live by that senior who have a computer to just print out this every day and as an act of love to go next door and just drop it off so that all of us together can be modeling ourselves in the saints whom we're called to become. The point of all of these three is that we'll be praying together. Even if we're not in the same place at the same time, we'll be praying together, together to God, together as a family. We believe that all three aspects will help us individually and as a parish experience a true spiritual renewal over the course of the year. We ask you to say a yes and to follow through to this commitment. I've talked in the bulletin about community and social renewal, about our educational renewal, building ourselves on the history of those who have worked so hard in the past to make this church something great, as well as our renewal and our stewardship for the parish. I ask you to read that bulletin and go over the renewal that we're asking you to make. All 4 of those areas are important. We're not asking anybody to do something that's going to totally take up your time, but little ways in which you'll become stronger as a Christian and this whole parish will become much stronger. The true goal of our parochial and personal renewal, of our conversion and renewed faith, is to become more and more like Jesus himself. Pope Benedict said this morning at the conclusion of his homily, the gospel for this Sunday speaks of 2 sons, but behind them, in a mysterious way, there's a 3rd son. The 1st son says no, but then does his father's will. The 2nd son says yes, but then doesn't do what his father asked. The 3rd son both says yes and does what he is asked. This 3rd son is the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has gathered us all here. Jesus, on entering the world, said, lo, I have come to do your will, O God. He not only said yes, he acted on it. And as the Christological hymn from the 2nd reading says, though he was God, he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. In humility and obedience, Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father, and by dying on the cross for us, he saved us from pride and obstinacy. Let us thank him for the sacrifice. Let us bend our knees before his name and proclaim together with the disciples of the first generation, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Christian life must continually measure itself by Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, Pope Benedict says, which is yours in Christ Jesus, as St. Paul reminds us in the introduction to today's Christological hymn in the second reading. In response to Jesus' question in the Gospel, which did the will of the Father? We're called to respond, Jesus did the will of the Father. Today, Jesus calls us to follow him in doing the Father's will. He calls us to say yes to the Father and to act on that yes. And no matter what hour he is calling us, whether early in life or late at life, we're called to go together with each other into his vineyard and accomplish the Father's work in us and in the world, which is the purpose why we're alive. The greatest way we begin to learn how to do that, the supreme example of doing the Father's will, of putting God's words into action, of putting on the mind of Christ, we find in the Holy Eucharist. Even though three times Jesus prayed in Gethsemane that the Father would take the chalice from him, three times he prayed, not my will but yours be done. That chalice was his cup of suffering, filled with his own blood. When Jesus told us during the Last Supper to do this in memory of him, he was not merely telling us to convene as we do today to celebrate the greatest event of all history. Jesus was telling us to make our lives truly Eucharistic and following his example, to become obedient even to our own death, saying to God and to others, this is my body, this is my blood, this is everything I am and have given for you. It's here that we attach ourselves to Christ Jesus the vine and insert ourselves into his work in the vineyard of the world, his great mission of salvation. May this third son, the faithful son we're about to receive, help us merely not just to say amen, but to follow through on the mission he out of love has entrusted to each of us and to all of us, so that not merely by our lips but by our lives, we might together as a spiritual family lift up the same spiritual canticle of the early church and show the world that Jesus Christ really is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Which of the two did the Father's will? Which type of son or daughter do you hope to be? Jesus wants to give you the strength to be like him. Open your hearts to receive that gift and pray that each of us here this morning will do the same. Amen.